Today we come in our study of the Gospel of Matthew to the last lesson in this particular division of our study in the Gospel of Matthew, which you will recall began with the latter part of the 13th chapter and continues all the way through the 16th chapter up until the last verse of that 16th chapter. So generally speaking, we have said that we have been visiting with you during these days concerning the offenses and the withdrawals of the Lord Jesus Christ as they are recorded in chapters 14 through 16. The offenses, of course, we learned were those things which the Lord Jesus Christ said that caused the people to stumble because they could not or would not, as the case might be, receive the truth. So they were described as people who stumbled at Christ. We said that the Apostle Paul summarized all that by saying they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And each time that there was offense, the Lord Jesus Christ withdrew into places apart from the unbelieving group, followed by multitudes. He taught the multitudes that followed, and particularly his disciples. We come today to the last portion of the 16th chapter in which the Lord Jesus Christ taught the final lesson of this particular section. We, as we have meditated upon it, have been led to describe it with the words, a deeper revelation. And I think you will understand the reason for our saying that after you have listened closely to the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffering many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father, with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. The meditation that moves our heart within these verses is indeed a deeper revelation than had ever been given to the apostles or the disciples before. And we say that for several reasons. One of them is the phrase with which the paragraph begins, from that time. That word, from, is not in the original text. The phrase, from that time, is a translation of a Greek phrase which is used always to indicate a new revelation of truth. It was used only one other time in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, when the Lord Jesus Christ presented himself to Israel as their Messiah. And there in Matthew 4, 17, we find the phrase, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when we see this particular phrase in the manner which I have described, it immediately becomes an indication that something new and detailed is going to be presented. That's why we say this is a new and a deeper revelation in this paragraph. But there is another reason we refer to this as a deeper revelation, and that is because of the word show. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples. That word show is one of several words that could be translated by our English word show, but this particular one is the Greek word dikaiouo, which means very literally to point out specifically certain things which had not been absolutely clear. Can you see why? We say that what we are studying here in the closing section of this division and the last part of the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew is indeed a deeper revelation. Now, what was it that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to point out to his disciples from this particular point onward? What was it? Well, look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. The deeper revelation which the Lord Jesus Christ brought to his disciples at that particular time was a revelation concerning the divine plan for the Son of God, with which, incidentally, they were not familiar. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ had touched upon the fact that he would go to Jerusalem. But at this particular point, the disciples were expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to go to Jerusalem to declare himself king, to oust the Romans, and to restore the kingdom of Israel. Now, he says, I'm not going to Jerusalem to be crowned king. I'm going to Jerusalem to suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. A representation, a total representation of all religious authority. After I have suffered many things at their hands, the Lord Jesus continued, I'm going to be killed, but I will be raised again the third day. This was the deeper revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, and it indeed could be described by the words, the divine plan, for that is exactly what it was. If you look upon this information that was given to the disciples at that particular time, only as additional information and not a revelation of divine truth, you have missed the point indeed. I want you to notice what we read in the passage of Scripture together. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Notice, he must do that. There was no choice. The English word must is the translation of the Greek word die, which speaks of divine necessity. It wasn't a matter of going in order to keep an appointment or to follow a certain schedule that Jesus Christ had in which he was doing certain things. It was because of the divine plan that the Lord Jesus Christ must go. It was because of the divine plan that Jesus Christ had no other choice. It's very important for you to keep that in mind, that this is the thrust of this paragraph, so you will know the significance of the succeeding verses in the entire context. To understand that, I would join with you in reading Acts chapter 2, verse 22, where the Apostle Peter said, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held captive by death. On the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Paul was speaking to those who were gathered on that eventful day, he said to the unrepentant among the nation of Israel, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've seen the miracles he performed. And you, with your wicked hands, took him and crucified him. But don't think it was your idea. You did it according to the predetermined counsel of God. God delivered him up into your hands to fulfill his divine plan. And had he not delivered him into your hands, there would be no way at all that you could have done anything. The divine plan, then, going back to Matthew chapter 16, is what the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to his disciples. And I would emphasize not only the emphasis of divine necessity in this divine plan, but I would emphasize that the divine plan stated here clearly presents the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, multitudes of people could give many definitions, but the gospel, my friend, simply stated in Matthew 16:21, he was going to Jerusalem, he was to be killed, and he was to be raised the third day. The Apostle Paul took up that truth and reemphasized it by saying, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture." You do not need to be a theologian to understand that. You do not need to be a deep student of the Word to know that the good news is that Christ died for your sins. Hell could not keep him. God raised him up again, and you are free from your sin today. Oh, that you would believe that and enjoy the blessings of eternal life.